You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Pastor Ken Klaus on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Now You See It, Now You Don't. Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In the course of my ministry, I have buried over 400 people. A few of them were over 100 years old. Some of them were never able to celebrate a first birthday. For some of them, death gave a long warning. For others, death came most unexpectedly. To all, the news that Christ has conquered death was, at that final moment, all important. Nothing else mattered. When the time is short, people pay attention to the important things. St. Paul was giving a heads up to the Corinthian church when he wrote, "The time is short." Whenever ministers start talking about the last times, people respond in a number of different and sometimes unusual ways. Let me tell you what I mean. One minister, as he was preaching about too late day, got what we in the ministry call enthusiastic, but what you in a congregation call really loud. At any rate, he roared from the pulpit, "On that day there will be wars and famines and earthquakes. The sun shall be darkened and the stars will fall from the sky." In semi-shock, one young wide-eyed second grader leaned over to his mother and whispered, "Mama, do you think when that day comes, I'll get out of school?" His was a practical reaction to the subject of Judgment Day. And to his practical question, I can assure him, "Yes, son, on Judgment Day, school's getting out early." Another reaction to the idea of Judgment Day comes to us from the year 1789. The place was Hartford, Connecticut. The legislature of that fine state was in session. Then the sky darkened ominously. The members of the House of Representatives, glancing out the windows, feared that Judgment Day had arrived. So intense was the darkness, a small panic ensued. The motion was made for immediate adjournment. That's when a colonel, a representative by the name of Davenport, rose and said, "The Day of Judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to have the Lord find me doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought." Not bad. He sounds like a sensible man. St. Paul wrote, "The time is short." To that truth revealed by God, people react in different ways. Years ago, a man who had always jeered at the idea of a savior or salvation became ill. During the months of his disorder and decline, the neighborhood minister sent him small packages, nothing big, just a few little things to let the man know he had not been forgotten. As it became apparent that time was running out, the man sent for the minister. He began the conversation by saying, "I didn't ask you here so you could regale me with religion. I did, however, want to thank you for your kindness." Understanding the rules of the conversation, the minister inquired, "May I ask one question?" "Yes," said the man. "One question, as long as it isn't about religion." The minister spoke. "Okay, here goes. I'm preaching tomorrow. Quite a few people will be there to hear me. Some, like you, may soon be facing death. Here's my question. What shall I preach about?" There was a long silence. The reply came, "Pastor, preach Christ to them. Preach Christ." Following his reply, and listening to the command of our Lord, that is what we will do today. We will preach Christ. We will preach him because when it comes to the last times, knowing him who gave his life so you might have life is a good bit of knowledge to have. We shall preach Christ because it is impossible to find salvation in anyone else other than Jesus. We shall preach Christ because if you know him as your Savior, it will make a very large difference to your dying and your eternity. What kind of difference? Well, if you know Christ, your last moment in time will not be your last moment in time. On the contrary, with Jesus as your Lord, death means a very positive change of residence. On earth, everything has been tainted by iniquity. Look at the news, read the papers, and you will always see ongoing stories of sin, sorrow, and sadness. You will be overwhelmed by reports of pain, prejudice, and poverty. You will be dumbfounded by descriptions of depression, discouragement, disappointment, and disaster. But for a Christian, when the end comes, they have been promised that they will enter the perfect and pure presence of God. They will be with their Savior, and in His company all the inequities, injustices, and injuries of life will be for once, for all, for eternity, eliminated. If you know Christ as your Savior, not only will the nastiness of life around you be changed, but you yourself will be transformed. Understand, Christians daily rejoice that because of Jesus, having been washed in the blood He shed for them upon Calvary's cross, they are forgiven. But they also inwardly groan and sigh, because no matter how hard they try to live a life of thanksgiving and appreciation, they still are burdened by sin. But when Jesus comes again, that sinful nature that weighs them down will be cut free, and their souls will soar in a never-ending eternity of praise. If you know Jesus as your Savior, when the last time comes, you will enter into a family reunion which will never end. Now, if your family reunions are major headaches, forget that image. Instead, visualize the very best, the very most unforgettable day of your life. You know the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about that day you wished with all your heart that it would never end. You remember, I'm talking about that day which was blessed with the best weather, was populated with the best people who said the nicest things, who did the bestest stuff. You remember that day? Well, take that day and then make it better. Make it infinitely better. Then make it so that day would never stop. That's the smallest and poorest glimmer of what eternity with the Lord is going to be like. You will be with your brothers and sisters who are living forever in the Lord. You will be with your divine brother who sacrificed himself to make this infinity of joy a reality. That's what it means to know Jesus. Everything is changed. That's why it's important that you know Him. Without Jesus as your Savior, without the salvation which comes from His birth, His life, His suffering, His death, and above all, His wondrous resurrection, the last moment of time is dark, dreadful, and deadly. With Jesus, you will know that terminal illnesses are not terminal, and that the grave is not the gravest thing that can happen to you. That's what it means to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, what then? Let me tell you about Edith Rockefeller McCormick. Edith, the daughter of John D. Rockefeller, had a high social position and a great many servants. Those great many servants had one unbreakable rule. They were never, I mean never, allowed to speak to her. To the best of anyone's remembrance, only once was that rule broken. That was when her young son died of scarlet fever. Word of his death reached the McCormick summer retreat as they were in the midst of hosting a party. After some discussion, the servants decided that this news was something they had to share. One of them was elected to speak to the lady. The news was whispered into her ear. There was a long pause. She nodded her head that she understood. And then, with the news of her child's death echoing in her head and heart, Mrs. McCormick did something most unusual. She continued the party. She continued just as if nothing had happened. Unusual? Most assuredly, it is not what you or I would do, is it? But maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong, because today I'm whispering in your ear. I'm whispering the news that the time is short. Death is coming. And having heard this whisper, I think a fair number of you who don't have Jesus as your Savior are nodding your head and then continuing the party, as if nothing had happened. please, my friends, please don't do that. Don't continue the party as if nothing was happening. St. Paul says it, the time is short. Of course, if you are going to keep your heart's door bolted and shut, if you are going to slap away the Savior's nail-pierced hands that are reaching out to you in invitation, if you are going to keep your ears stopped up to his words of invitation, I suppose you might as well keep partying. You might as well enjoy the false and fleeting feelings that this world offers. You might as well relish this world's party because it's the only joy you will ever know. Please, enjoy the music, enjoy the food, enjoy the sights, because the day is coming when you will never taste, hear, feel, or see these joys again. There are no delicacies to delight the tongue in hell. There are no musical chords of joy when you die without Jesus. The time is growing short. And without Jesus, that time is far shorter than you think. Without Jesus, that time is certainly shorter than you would like. Which is why, today, we are preaching Christ crucified and risen for you. Which is why, since 1930, the Lutheran Hour has been preaching the same life-changing, soul-saving message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Look, do you think since 1930 that our listening audience has stayed the same? It has not. This broadcast was proclaiming a changeless Christ to a changing world 10 years before I was born. During these decades, speakers have come and gone. Audiences have been born, lived a full life, and died. Beginning in the Great Depression of the 30s, the word went out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That word shared God's peace with millions. It shared salvation, and souls were saved. They might not have had a job during those years, but they did have a Savior. They had a Savior who understood their poverty, for he too had been penniless. Gathered before the radio in the parlor, they found comfort. In the 40s, when the sons and daughters of this great country went off to war, when everyone on the home front came together in a common cause, when the best of our youth were spilling their blood and dying terrible deaths on the sandy beaches in Europe, Africa, and Asia, the message went out, you are not alone. Jesus, who spilled his blood so you could have hope, is with you. In the 50s, when America was building and rebuilding, listeners were encouraged to build on Jesus. In the 60s, as social unrest tore our country and communities apart, the truth of God's great grace in Jesus brought peace to people who were confused. In the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now, in a new decade, century, and millennium, the message continues, Jesus has come so you might have life and have it abundantly. Like the seasons, speakers and listeners have come and gone, but the message is the same. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Are you saved? Brothers, the time is short. Now, if I still have your attention, this is the point you might ask. Pastor, just how short is the time? In the last few years, a great many articles from the scientific and religious communities have been putting forth their theories. A nice, well-sized asteroid could quickly make a mash of things. Then there's the possibility of a gamma ray burst originating in a distant galaxy. That could cook the ozone layer and do us in. No matter which scientific scenario you espouse, the truth is, science isn't able to predict when the end is coming. On the other hand, they do know it is coming. St. Paul says the time is short. The religious community has also been rolling the presses on the theme of the last time. Novels are being rushed into print as writers try to imagine the horrific vision and timetable of those last days. When is too late day coming? During the time of the apostles, some people thought Jesus' return was only a short time away. Around the year 400, Hippolytus, you don't have to remember his name, wrote that Christ would come back in the year 500. He didn't. Around the year 1000, pulpits were filled with predictions on Christ's recoming. So strong was the sentiment of Jesus' return that many didn't plant their crops and some starved. Christopher Columbus, an explorer as well as a student of biblical prophecy, wrote a treatise called The Book of Prophecies. He predicted that the world would end in 1556. It didn't. After years of studying the Bible, William Miller got a following of 50 to 100,000 people who believed him when he said Jesus would return in 1843. On the designated day of April 3rd, some of those disciples went to mountaintops, hoping for a head start to heaven. Others went to graveyards, anticipating they would ascend to heaven in fellowship with their already deceased family members. As you might guess, April 3rd came and went without the end. No matter, Miller said the end might come as late as March 21st. That day also came and went. A third date, October 22nd, was designated, but still, judgment didn't come. In the face of such failed prophecies, I am now going to give you my opinion about when Judgment Day will come. Ready? Here it is. I don't know. Disappointed? Don't be. Nobody knows. Now, that's not sour grapes on my part. That's not me trying to put down all the present-day doomsayers. I wouldn't do that, no. I'm telling you I don't know because nobody knows. And I know nobody knows because Jesus told me nobody knows. He said very clearly and concisely, heaven and earth will pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven. So with the news that the pastor doesn't know and science is giving us 5 billion years, maybe you can kick back. Don't you believe it? Let me tell you a great secret, my friends. Do not wait for the last judgment. The last judgment takes place every day. This radio broadcast is carried on about 1,000 radio stations. It is also found on the internet and reaches around the world. If I were to trust the law of averages, I would probably be quite right in saying that for some of our listeners, this is the last sermon you will hear. This is the last invitation you will receive from our beloved Lord. Do not assume that Jesus will postpone coming for you. Today is the day to believe in the Lord of life. Tomorrow may be too late. Maybe for the world, maybe for you. Certainly for someone. For someone, it's going to be now you see it, now you don't. When that day comes, when you will stand before God, the situation will be changed. Today, the all-important question is, what do you think of Christ? On that day, the question will be, what does Christ think of you? In the ancient world, there was a mathematician by the name of Archimedes. He was so fond of performing his mathematical problems that when the city in which he was living fell to the Romans, he didn't pay any attention. He didn't pay attention to the tramp of the soldiers. He didn't pay attention to the cries of the people. He didn't pay any attention when the enemy came down his street. He didn't pay any attention when they entered his house. Through all of that, he continued to work at his interesting, albeit now of secondary importance, geometric calculations. It was only when the soldier stood before him and swung his sword. That was when he paid attention, and then it was too late. Don't you do the same. Toward the beginning of this sermon, the man told the pastor, preach Christ. That is what we have done. We have preached Christ because I don't want you to copy Archimedes' mistake. Don't busy yourself with the secondary stuff and leave the important stuff wanting. The time is growing short. Be prepared. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Don't close your ears to the inevitable. The world's last moment is approaching. Yours is coming. Don't wait for death to come into your life, touch you on the shoulder, and in surprise say, what, have you come already? The time is short. If you don't know where to go from here, please, let my friends at Lutheran Hour Ministries be of assistance to you. They've been doing that for a good many years. They won't be asking you for money. All they want to do is help you be prepared for Judgment Day. They want to help you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so you can be saved. Amen. Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.